now time for the Billy C Show. Part of the BillyCBoxing.com network.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri. It's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good day, good evening, whenever you're watching, whenever you're listening. I hope you're doing okay today. Today's show is being brought to us in part by, you guessed it, my book, Tom Molineaux, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all good books are sold. And you can get a copy of this book right now while you're watching or listening to this very show. Just go to Amazon.com. That's the easiest way to get it. And enjoy it. I loved writing it, and it's still selling. So today's show is also being brought to us in part by BillyCBoxing.com. That's right. If you're looking to be constantly caught up on the latest boxing news and not all the other BS that some of the other sites give, just come on over to BillyCBoxing.com, click on the latest news, and scroll through it. I'm only keeping the relevant news that's out there. So anything that had already taken place is taken off, and anything that is canceled or blah, 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 we don't put it up there. So if you just want to, you know, get yourself all caught up on what's going on quick and maybe some of the other smaller stories that may not be on mainstream media, check out BillyCBoxing.com. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our Rumble. We're trying to have a presence on Instagram, so you can help us there. I don't really know much about Instagram. And, of course, our podcast. Make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast with your favorite podcast subscriber. My man Dave Mawilcox is in the chat room. He's saying good morning because he's on the West Coast. It's morning out there. It's afternoon here, and the sun is finally shining here in upstate New York. Still a little chilly out there. My man Dave, we got to get him back on. We're going to get Dave back on one of these days and do a heavyweight spotlight, which was his baby on this show. Yeah, that's how long, you know, he's an old guy. So, I mean, we've been doing this show for a long time. But anyway, coming up on today's show, I'm going to give you my final thoughts on the fight that took place this past weekend. Danny Garcia's ass beating, I guess that's what everybody's calling it now, over Devin Haney. A great fight that I'm looking forward to. Well, I'm just looking forward to seeing him back in the ring. That's Terrence Crawford is challenging Mediramov for his title, junior middleweight belt that Crawford will be trying to get. And then, of course, he'll collect all of those. We'll touch base on the latest boxing news. We got a couple of fights this weekend I'm going to be watching. And I got some listener email I'm going to read and all of that stuff. My man Coach is in the chat room. If you're watching right now, come on over to the chat room and on YouTube, our YouTube stream, and chat. I'll talk about it. Yeah, Dave is the truth of the matter is Dave wants, he said, yeah, he would like to come back on. He didn't say it in those words. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, the thing is, I kid him about him being old. He's a decade younger than me, you know. I don't know. Anyway, but I think he's a grandfather now. That's good. That's good. All right. First and foremost, let's talk about Ryan Garcia. You know, there was a lot of talk about Ryan Garcia leading up to this fight. Some colleagues of mine that do other shows and stuff, you know, were following Teddy Atlas. You're a firefighter. You're what a firefighter do. You know, they fight fires, Teddy. But the truth of the matter is that Teddy Atlas spearheaded the let's get Ryan Garcia examined medically. He's nuts. He's this and that. And a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon. And I said, the day before the fight, I posted on social media. I said, listen, you know, I think the New York State Athletic Commission is doing the right thing by keeping their nose out of it. They're no doctors, you know. And, yeah, he was saying off the wall crazy stuff, but that's all he knew how to promote. And a lot of young people today, they use social media. That's part of their world. And that's what I thought would happen. and it did. Ryan Garcia defeated Devin Haney to improve to 26-1 with 20 knockouts. The weighted scores were 114, 110, 115, 109. And, of course, Devin Haney's personal judge, well, he scored it even, 112, 112. Three knockdowns in the fight. My initial thought in the fight was, number one, as far as the weight goes, a lot of people talking about the weight, 3.2 pounds, blah, blah, blah. Look, you know, it comes like this. You know, the sanctioning bodies have devalued titles, okay? They have devalued titles. You know, Floyd Mayweather proved it. Manny Pacquiao proved it. You know, guys that, you know, obviously in the more modern era, they don't need no stinking titles. They'll still sell pay-per-views and everything else, just like Canelo. Now, Canelo likes to, you know, maintain a strap or two, but he doesn't need no stinking belt to sell and make money. I think Ryan Garcia might have jumped the gun a little bit, but after Saturday night, he proved he don't need no stinking belt either. You know, what was it, $1.5 million he forked over to Devin Haney. And by the way, they both, as a matter of fact, I heard they weighed the same the night of the fight. I saw something out in the news, I don't know if it was yesterday or this morning, it was this morning. Ryan Garcia's father claimed that Devin Haney was actually 6 pounds heavier than Ryan on fight night. So, and I got news for you. Neither one of those fighters looked drained. They both looked healthy. My knock on the fight for Ryan, okay, I think Ryan could have knocked out Devin Haney at any point in that fight if he didn't tire. I don't know about you, but I thought he was tiring after those rounds. He would throw a barrage of punches, rock Haney, hurt him, and then he stopped throwing punches. And a lot of those rounds, you know, became close, in my opinion. I scored that fight, and I had it 113-111 in favor of Ryan Garcia. But there were a couple of rounds that, you know, could have gone either way. Like round 8 was extremely close. You know, I mean, aside from the knockdowns, I saw some stuff on Harvey Dock. Now, first of all, I think Harvey Dock is one of the best referees out there. All right, I love Harvey Dock. He had an off night, okay? Deducting the point right away for hitting on the break. Yes, it's illegal, and a referee can do that. But I really thought a warning was more in place. Then, you know, I mean, all the holding that Devin Haney was doing, and he yelled at Ryan Garcia for it, you know. So I think he had kind of an off night. But the beauty of Harvey Dock is you never see Harvey Dock unless he's trying to break up the fighters, if they're holding or whatever, in the shot. And what I mean by that is when I'm watching a fight and I don't remember who the referee was, he did a good job because he let the fighters fight. You know what I mean? It's not, I've always said, it's not fighter A versus fighter B featuring referee so-and-so. And we all know there's a ton of referees out there that think that, you know, everybody's tuning in to watch them referee the fight. But nonetheless, I thought that Garcia looked good. He's immediately jumped to the top. I mean, everybody that said he was crazy, I say he's crazy like a fox. He promoted himself. The odds went up. Rumor has it he threw a couple of extra bucks on himself to win, which covered the $1.5 million that he gave to Haney for being overweight. And the truth of the matter is, all of a sudden, he's driving the ship. You know, he can fight who he wants. You know, he's talking about possibly fighting Boots. You know, we'll see about that. But hats off to Ryan Garcia. I thought he did had a great night. Now, as far as Devin Haney goes, look, Devin Haney was not expecting this from Ryan Garcia. He just was zapped out of confidence during that fight. We all watched it, right? The thing is that Devin Haney was out of his game. And what I say, when I say that, I mean this. Devin Haney has a great jab. He's very fast. He's accurate with his punches. You know, he moves. He punches from different angles. He didn't do none of that against Ryan Garcia. He got into Ryan Garcia's game. He was trying to throw left hooks. You know what they say, don't hook with a hooker, you know? You better protect yourself. But that's another story. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, he should have established the jab, started going with the jab. Same thing, Ryan Garcia. Every time he used the jab, Devin Haney froze. You know, so, I mean, you know, listen, it's a clear case, and I say this all the time, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I guess I will. The truth of the matter is, here in the States, American fighters, they get coddled. They're coddled all the way from the time they get somebody to back them financially until they're in a big money fight. That's what they do. They do that so the investors, are their money is protected, and then they all cash out. They roll a dice. They get them a big fight. Everybody gets their money, and if the guy wins, hey, it's going to be gravy for the next fight or two or three. If he loses, they go off and, you know, fade into the sunset like the fans. Everybody's jumping all over Haney. Oh, he did it. Oh, his father. Oh, they blamed everything, you know. That's people that don't know the sport. That's why, boys and girls, I always say that the UK is where it's at when it comes to boxing, because we don't see that. The fighters fight each other at young stages of their career, and the winners move on. The losers get better in a lot of cases and come back and they avenge the loss. They're not afraid to fight each other. The fans are more knowledgeable. No, nothing personal against U.S. fans, but they're not as knowledgeable as the U.K. fans about boxing. I'm sorry. They get sucked into this promotional bullshit, and they believe that if a fighter has an undefeated record, that means he's good. And we all know that's not true. So congratulations to Ryan Garcia. He was crazy like a fox. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. The whole thing about guzzling the beer, it was apple juice and soda. And I got news for you. I know firsthand about how the New York State Athletic Commission is. I applaud them for keeping their nose stuck to boxing. And as long as he followed all the rules, which he did, he didn't do anything that was wrong according to the Athletic Commission's rules and the rules that you need to follow. So, you know, aside from Teddy Atlas screaming for him to get a mental examination, I said it on this show. I didn't think that was justified, you know. I mean, he wasn't, you know. Hey, listen, Bill Haney said he was going to sick Devin on him and kill him. And should he die, he dies. I mean, isn't that a little bit over the top? Anyway, I loved the fight. And I like Devin Haney, but I was pulling for Garcia, and I'm glad that he won. The rest of the card, that's what I say to the rest of the card, you know? I mean, you know, it doesn't, it didn't do anything for me, so I'm not even going to mention the rest. Some comments in the chat room, Dave was saying he didn't think Garcia would win. Most people didn't, Dave. Most people didn't. He's also saying he's our newest kook in boxing. Yeah, well, I mean, look, you know, Tyson Fury's a kook too, and he's successful. You know, the thing is that it always bothers me when I hear the pre-fight, I'm going to do this, and when I get you in the ring, I'm going to give you this and that and the other thing, and they do none of that stuff. You know, and that's because they don't know how to promote any other way. A lot of times I like when a fighter will just say, I'm not going to say much. I'm going to let my fist do the talking in the ring. You know, to me, you know, as a you know, another fighter, if I'm hearing my opponent saying that, I'm all of a sudden I'm starting to say, wow, what does he know that I don't know? And it gets into your head. You know, I like that approach. Amok, he's saying Devin looked drained. That's why he wore sunglasses to hide his sunken eyes. And he wore the black Inspector Gadget jacket. I want to know about the boots. What about his boxing shoes? Did anybody else notice that Devin Haney looked like he had Uggs on? I noticed it the minute they introduced him. I'm going, what's up with those boxing shoes? And you know, the thing is that I tell you the truth about New York State Athletic Commission. I'm surprised they let those boxing shoes go. I mean, I've seen them let regular sneakers get passed and everything else, but usually a boxing shoe is what's required in the state of New York for a professional boxing match, right? Sometimes they'll let a sneaker go, but I've never seen a shoe like that, or if it was a covering, whatever the heck it was, it certainly looked kind of funky in there. Anyway, I don't think he was drained at all. I think because it's his weight class, it was his title. I think that, you know, he took a beating. He did. He took a beating, you know, and it could have been worse. That's the sad part. Could have been worse. But congratulations to Ryan Garcia. I think a muck said Devin's grandma made those shoes. It looked like it. It looked like it. Hey, listen, Devin came in great shape. He was Ryan Garcia was the better man that night. They're talking about doing a rematch and stuff. I don't think we need to see a rematch. I think Devin Haney can still be the Devin Haney he was when he won the belt. I think that Ryan Garcia was just a little too powerful for him. And sometimes when fighters are such a huge favorite, I'm not saying Devin took him lightly, but Ryan Garcia definitely had the last laugh in my opinion. You know, Garcia he knew what was going on, and he played that hand beautifully, and I give him credit for that. Now after the fight, they asked Garcia how he felt in the 7th, 10th, and 11th rounds when he dropped Haney. He said that he was thinking, is this going to be the moment I stopped him? I shouldn't have put too much pressure on myself to stop him, because every time I hurt him, I just went crazy and I just couldn't finish him. He says the referee, Harvey Dock, was tripping. He should have stopped the fight. It was bad. He was really hurt. I looked at Bill Haney and said, in the 11th round, you should stop the fight. I thought at one point, I agree with Ryan Garcia, at one point, that I forget which round it was, where he was really beating the hell out of Devin towards the end of the round. It was within the 10-second count. I thought that Harvey Dock was going to stop it because Devin Haney was stumbling all around. I thought the ropes kept him up. I thought that would have been a justifiable stoppage. But Ryan is telling the truth here. He ran out of gas. When he went crazy, he ran out of gas, and his accuracy wasn't there. You know, the other thing is that, you know, yes, those his left hook was his left in general was doing the damage and was the knockdown, the cause of all three knockdowns. But his right hand, I thought, was doing a lot of damage. Haney was staring at that left. I agree with, Sergio Mora kept saying, you know, why doesn't he, you know, use the right. And I agree with that. Ryan says he was holding on to me for dear life. I felt it was an opportunity while my hands were freezed, and I cracked him, and then he took a point away. Well, it was when I didn't agree with that point deduction, but it was at the break. And that whole punching behind the back thing, you know, that was a questionable thing, because you're not supposed to punch, in that kidney area. It's an illegal punch. But when you're turning your back on a fighter, two things. Either you're opening yourself up to that punch, or you're opening yourself up to the referee to stop the fight. Because, you know, that could be interpreted as if you don't want to fight anymore. So that was a crazy thing. And that lame-ass shoulder roll that Garcia was doing, every time he did it, Haney was successful. So I don't know. I hope he watches those tapes and realizes that that's not really doing anything for him. In any event, all right. So after the fight, there was a lot of different things. I don't know if you paid attention, but during the fight, after the fight, there was conflicting opinions about the title. What happened to the title? Even before the fight, they said, well, Ryan Garcia can't win the title. He came in overweight, but if Devin Haney loses the fight, he loses his title. Nah, I'm saying to myself, that's not the rule. That's not the rule. But I didn't know, because you never know in the contracts, right? They could have had something in the contracts. Well, the junior king to his late great father, Mauricio Sulaiman, had to clarify it. Since he's the WBC, and Sulaiman said, congratulations to Ryan Garcia defying all obstacles and winning a huge fight. Congratulations to Devin Haney for showing his huge heart and class, just as was the case in Corrales versus Castillo 2. With the challenger not making weight, Haney remains the WBC champion. And I figured that was going to be the outcome with that. But in any event, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, Devin Haney's still the champ. He should take some time and regroup. And, a couple of weeks ago I had John Iceman Scully on here, and I was kidding him because, you know, he trains Stephen Bang Bang Butler. And, I said to him, you know, because John has said to me in the past, and I've heard him talk to fighters, you know, don't care what the crowd says, you know, they're chanting, they're boring, they want to knock out this and that. You fight your fight. You fight the way, you know, your skill set is. You know, you do what's best for you, and a win is a win. Haney didn't do that. And I think that if he would have, his speed and movement, the outcome may have been different. But anyway. Like Coach is saying, Haney's holding is definitely against the rules. He was warned at least two times that I remember. I believe a point should have been taken away for the excessive holding, especially when he was in some serious trouble. I mean, it was a joke. But anyway, hey, listen, Dave, the WBC doesn't hand out as many belts as the WBA. I can't even keep track of the WBA. They have the nerve and the balls to even refer to somebody as a regular champion. I mean, come on. You know, so they don't use the word interim anymore. Is it the same thing? I don't know. All right, they announced a big fight card. And the group in Saudi Arabia that's been doing all these great cards announced that they're going to be promoting their first card here in the States, and it's going to be taking place in Los Angeles, California. And in my opinion, the best number one pound-for-pound fighter is going to be part of the main event. Terrence Crawford is taking on Israel Majerimov in the main event. Majerimov is a killer. He's an animal. I loved watching him in his last fight when he won the title, and he's immediately putting it on the line against Terrence Crawford. Now, two things about this fight. Number one, I applaud Majerimov for fighting Terrence Crawford. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a big payday for him, but most fighters don't do – well, then again, most American fighters don't do that, you know, but these other fighters across the ponds, they do. And Majerimov is proving that with his fight against Terrence Crawford, in my opinion, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. But he is 38 years old, so we'll see if that plays into it. The other part of this fight that I like is the fact that Terrence Crawford is in this fight. It's a junior middleweight title fight. It's another, and I think there's an interim belt. I think the WBO threw their belt on there, too. And, you know, so immediately Terrence Crawford could move up another weight class, and maybe his goal is to become a unified champion there. As far as the rest of the card goes, I don't think it's terrible, all right? You got Tim Zhu is taking on Virgil Ortiz. That's a decent fight, okay? Isaac Pitbull Cruz, who just moved up and won his belt, 140-pound title. He's taking on Jose Valenzuela, who's a lightweight by, you know, for all intents and purposes, but so was Cruz. So, you know, and it's his first title defense, and he's fighting so soon afterwards. I'm okay with that. And the Andy Ruiz-Jarrell Miller fight. This fight, you know, I don't know what to think about this fight. You know, Ruiz hasn't fought in over a year and 8 months almost, okay? You know, he hasn't fought. He did look like he was in decent shape all the time. I've seen him recently, right? But, you know, why is Jarrell Miller getting this fight? I mean, you know, this is a guy that came in. By the way, the combined weight of these two guys might be close to 600 pounds or even over by fight night, but we'll see. But, you know, why is Jarrell Miller even getting this fight? I mean, he, you know, this is a guy, in my opinion, you know, he got busted for steroids. He was out of boxing for a while he served his time, right? You know, his suspension. And then he comes back and loses a fight in Saudi Arabia. And they award him with a fight against Andy Ruiz. You could look at this two ways. You could say, well, it's a good test for Andy. I mean, let's face it. Miller's got a chin. And he's, you know, similar to Ruiz in the aspect that both these guys, for their size, have decent hand speed, you know. And Ruiz is an accurate puncher. The matchup is actually not bad. It's the situation and circumstances surrounding it. I mean, how do you reward Miller? The only way I can think is that he signed with those guys. And I don't know if he's with Matchroom Boxing or if he's with the Saudi Arabia group. I don't know. But then Morrell and Kalajdzic is on there. Andy Cruz and Antonio Moran. And rumor has it, the coveted fight, and I know Dave Ma is dying to see this one, it would be the trifecta, Abner Mares against Leo Santa Cruz. What? You know, I mean, is that really going to take place? You know? So I don't know. Abner Mares, last time I heard his eye was all messed up, you know? You know, he's terrible on whatever broadcast he works on, but who knows, you know? But we'll see. We'll keep you posted on that one. But the main event and co-main and even the Pitbull Cruz fight, I'm okay with them. I'm okay with them. Chocolatito, Roman Gonzalez. We talked about this a couple weeks ago that he was going to be making a comeback. Well, they announced his opponent. And true to form with Chocolatito, this guy is always fighting tough guys, it seems. And he's taken on former WBA world title challenger Robert Barrera in a 10-round main event. So we'll see what happens on that. That's taking place in July. And I don't know if you heard, but Matchroom, my man Eddie Hearn, signed Jaron Boots Innes to a promotional deal. And he says that, you know, and he's already got him on a card. He said that he's the IBF champ. He's the world's best welterweight. This is what Eddie Hearn says. He's fighting his mandatory, Cody Crawley. And then Eddie Hearn's plan is to get him to potentially fight Crawford. Here's the thing. Now, I don't know if Crawford's going to... I mean, Boots is big enough to move up to junior middleweight himself, so I don't know if he's going to start chasing him or what. Age will finally catch up with Crawford, and my hope is that, you know, he packs it in before that happens. Like a lot of people say, you know, the fighters age before us. It could happen in his fight against Miradrov on... when he's challenging for the junior middleweight title. But when I look at Boots, you know, here's a guy, all right? Now, look, he's young, right? He's 26 years old. He's 5'10". The computer has him ranked at number 4. He's the IBF world champion. He was the interim champion until Crawford won, and then when he went to fight outside of his weight class, they immediately stripped him and converted Boots from an interim to a regular champ, or their regular champion. Look, the guy's got a lot of talent. He's got over a 90% knockout ratio. He's 31-0, 28 coming by knockout. But I took a look at his resume, okay? And this is where I'm talking about fans that know the sport versus fans that don't. Because if you look at his record, okay, in the U.S., the first, you know, dozen fights or so, you give them those, right? But then you start looking at some of his opponents. Now, he really didn't get tested for big-time double-digit fights, okay? As a matter of fact, I am looking at his record right now, and really, when you start seeing names that you recognize, they had already been, guys that were contenders and already were, you know, become gatekeepers. I mean, Raymond Serrano, Fernandez, Damian Fernandez, Mike Arenudas. These are guys, excuse me, that became gatekeepers. You know, his best wins, in my opinion. Now, remember, he's got 31 wins, right? He beat Thomas Delorme in 2021. He knocked him out in the first round. He blew him away, actually. But Delorme has been in, you know, some wars, right? As a matter of fact, isn't he one of the guys I'm talking about for this weekend? Let's see. Yeah. He's fighting this weekend. I'm going to be breaking that down. But he's no spring chicken. And when he was in the mix for a title, this is a different fighter than the one that fought Boots. Sergey Lipinets. Okay, we'll give Lipinets a break because I think that he was a quality fighter when he fought Boots. But, you know, again, that was in 21. Chris Van Heerden. Chris Van Heerden is a guy that, again, you know, was... I know he only had two losses and a draw when he faced Boots, but he already was, you know, regarded as someone that wasn't that much of a danger, you know. And Abreu was a good win too. He beat knocking all those guys out, by the way. And the Van Heerden fight was a no decision, no contest because of a cut that took place in the first round, and he never did rematch him again. So. You know, I don't think the jury's out on Boots Enos yet. I really don't. And I'll be looking forward to that when and if it does. Did you know Tank Davis and David Benavidez is, they're both going to be on the same card in June in Vegas? Of course you did. We've been talking about it for 2 months, but guess what? It wasn't official until late last week. How crazy is that? But anyway, talk about crazy. If you're in Vegas today, if you're watching this show live and you're out in Vegas, 12:30 Vegas time, we're going to have an open workout for the Canelo Alvarez and Munguia fight. Mario Barrios, Fabian Madonna, Brandon Figueroa, Jesse Magladeno, and Gabriel Mastry will all be able to, they'll be doing an open workout. So if you're in the area, it's going to be taking place at the Pound for Pound Gym in Las Vegas. So, hey, check it out if you're going to be in that area today. We will... I'm reading what Coach is saying in the chat room. Santillan, I heard he's going to go for a bigger name. He's all about the money right now, Garcia, but we'll see. Okay, so this weekend there's a couple of fights that I wanted to talk about real quick. The big fight, of course, is next weekend, and we'll be doing a breakdown of that fight, Canelo and Munguia, and I might even be doing a post fight show. Immediately after that, when I should have did one after Garcia and Haney, but I didn't because I like the fact that I can, you know, get in my feety pajamas and be in bed by 9 o'clock at night, the latest, and wake up like I do at 3 a.m. and watch the fight as if it's live. I mean, I love that, whether it's a pay-per-view or not. But the Zone, the king of boxing on TV or streaming. They got not one, not two, but three broadcasts starting tomorrow night with Eunice Tellez against Joseph Jackson in the junior middleweight division. And on Saturday, Jose Ramirez against Francis Barthelemy and Virgil Ortiz against Thomas Delorme on that card. And then also on Saturday, it's probably going to be in the afternoon because it's from England, is Peter McGrail against Mark Leach. two younger fighters. It's a card I'll probably watch because I love watching those guys. What we're doing. And anyway, but I'm going to break down my two favorite fights of the weekend. And the first one is will be Jose Ramirez against Rancis Barthelemy. Now, Rancis Barthelemy, they call him Kid Blast. I don't know if he used to do cocaine or what, but it's certainly not from his punching power because he really doesn't blast anybody out. He's got a 50% knockout ratio. He's 30 wins, 2 losses, and a draw. He was only stopped one of the 2 losses. Of his 30 wins, he's got 15 knockouts. He's 38 years old already, which kind of surprised me. He's not rated anywhere with the major sanctioning bodies except for the computer. They got him ranked at number 37. He's 5'10". He's got a 72.5-inch reach. His big wins, really, the biggest win of his career of note took place of May of last year when he won a close majority decision over Omar Juarez. And, you know, he lost his knockout loss came to the hands of Gary Russell in 2022. His draw was against Robert Easter Jr. That was in 2019. And his other loss came at the hands of Kirill Rylik in 2018. Now, that was a rematch when he won the first one. And then they had the second one for the title, and he lost that one. So, really, I mean, he does have boxing skill. I did enjoy watching him fight, but we'll see what happens there. Now he's stepping in the ring with Jose Carlos Ramirez, who's got a record of 28-1, 18 of his wins coming by knockout. He's got 64%, a little over 64% KO ratio. His only loss was to Josh Taylor, which, you know, that fight took place in May of 2021 when it was a unification for the World Junior Welterweight titles. The IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO titles were on the line. Ramirez, he had the WBC and WBO title, and Josh Taylor had the other two, and Josh Taylor won the fight. Ramirez has been on his way back since. He did get a win against Richard Comey in March of last year, and that was his last time he fought. So the computer doesn't rank him. But all four sanctioning, well, three of the four sanctioning bodies do. The WBC has him at number 9. The IBF has him at number 11. The WBO has him at number 4. And the WBA doesn't have him ranked at all. He's, like I said, he's a former world champion. You know, he was down twice in the Josh Taylor fight. It's a big fight for Jose Ramirez, and I think he's going to come out on top. I think Barthelemy has a tendency to, you know, be a little boring at times, and I think Ramirez is going to win this fight. The other fight that I'm going to be talking about is on the same card. Virgil Ortiz Jr. takes on Thomas Delorme. Look, Thomas Delorme is 34 years old. He's got a record of 26 wins, 6 losses, and a draw. Of his six losses, he was stopped 3 times. Of his 26 wins, he's got 17 knockouts, a little over 65% knockout ratio. 5'10". I always thought of him as being tall, but really, he's not. He's the same size as Ortiz. He hasn't fought since July of 2022, so he's not ranked. You know, every time he stepped up and fought somebody decent, he lost. He lost to Boots. He lost to Jamel James. He lost to Ugas. You know, every time he stepped up, he lost. At 34 years old and not being in the ring since 2022, I think this is a payday fight for him. Just saying. But Virgil Ortiz, well, you know, he's been talking a lot of smack lately. I know he just recently fought in January against Frederick Lawson. you know, stopped him in one round, wanted all the credit for that. You know, it was the perfect opponent for him. You know, now he's taking on Thomas Delorme. You know, this is my point, what I was saying earlier, boys and girls. You know, the problem with the American fighters, and, you know, they don't fight because the American fans believe that just because a fighter's undefeated, that means he's good. Virgil Ortiz, really, when you look at his resume, no name jumps out at you. I mean, Brad Solomon was a highly regarded fighter at one time. He beat him. He did beat Samuel Vargas, who's a tough out, and he stopped him. I mean, Maurice Hooker, he was a tough out at one time. You know, so I mean, he's fought some decent scrappers, right? But I don't know. I mean, he's not as good as he says he is, because he hasn't proved it yet. But he's 20-0, and he's fighting an easy fight this weekend. I don't give Delorme much of a chance. He's not going to see the final bell. Those are my predictions for the fights this weekend. You know, my early prediction for Crawford is, you know, I think Crawford's going to win the fight. I really do. But and I think he's going to go on and dominate that division too. He's just got to do it quickly because he's running out of time. Got a couple of emails. This one's from my man Eric K. You know, I try not to mention last names in case they don't want it, but Eric says he's talking about the Crawford against Madrimov fight. And he says, hey, Billy C, I really like the main event. It's a good test for Crawford at 54. He said, but what's with this PBC undercard? Now, first of all, let me just comment on this. It is a good test. You know, Madrimov, I can't even say my own name. He's a tough out. This guy's an animal. I don't know if you saw his last fight, but he's a beast. This is not an easy fight for Crawford by any means. For him to take this fight, I hope they're paying him big bucks. But the undercard, he says, I get they want some Mexican names on the card to help sell in Southern California, but come on, why is Pitbull fighting a lightweight? Well, Pitbull moved up from lightweight to junior welterweight, right? Super well, you know. It's his first defense. I don't really see a problem with that fight, Eric. He says, and after the latest on Andy Ruiz, I don't want him to fight Miller. I don't want him or Miller getting a payday. I agree about the Miller. I'd kind of like the matchup between Ruiz and Miller, but I agree with Eric here. I don't know if I want to see them fight on this card. You know, you know, Miller's coming off a loss with the same promotional company, so I don't know what the deal is there. And he says, Santa Cruz against Mahrez 3, really. That's not made official yet, though, Eric, but I hear you. I've always liked Leo Santa Cruz. I mean, there's no question about that. But Abner Mahrez, I mean, I thought he was done a long time ago. And I don't really think people are chomping at the bit to see a third fight, but I don't know. And then Eric closes here. He says, I sure hope we get to see Berto Guerrero 3. He says, thanks, Al. Yeah, it is a typical. Some of those matchups are typical with, being like a PBC, not so great. But in any event, thanks for the email. Hey, remind everybody, send me an email with your thoughts and comments. I'll read them live on the show. Billy@TalkinBoxing, TalkinBoxing.com. Wow, Coach is saying Crawford wins, but he's going to hit the deck. And Amok says Ruiz is going to stop Miller. Miller's got a granite chin. We'll see. You know, we'll see. This one is from Coach, my man Coach. He says, hey, Billy C, first it was great seeing Alex back last week. Was wondering about your thoughts on Haney Garcia. Okay, we talked about that. Trying to ignore the one-way press buildup and pure nonsense. I had Garcia after hearing Hopkins bring up Zoo at the meeting. Yes, The old I have his book, The Art of War. He says, knowing in this sport, the only thing you can control before the fight is you. It reminded me of Zhu's quote, I know the enemy. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. 6 previous meetings and friends, enemies since Ryan, phew, he knew his enemy, and as crazy as it sounds, was focused on this fight, and he had a distraction plan. I'm with you, bro. And I said this when, you know, Amok says Miller is there to be hit, but he does have a granite chin. I said the same thing. You know, it seemed awfully crazy. He just carried it too far. When he jumped up on that scale pretending he was guzzling a beer dressed, I knew damn well he wasn't going to try to make weight. I would have just liked to have known if he was thinking about making weight at all during training camp. Because if he wasn't, then he 3.2 pounds was nothing, you know. If he realized, like, you know, earlier in the week that he wasn't going to hit it and then decided forget about it, that I believe more. But he says, the fight itself, let's start with the weigh-in. Keeping in mind, Haney weighed 165 pounds against Prograss fight night, and never forgetting the fight that solidified the biggest loser trend, Mayweather against Marquez. Yep. He said Mayfay already had fought at 154 pounds twice, changed the contract 2 times, missed the weight, refused to re-weigh in, and with the midnight extension. Marquez never weighed above 135, foolishly took the 600 grand. He could have gotten way more and lost over the limit versus Floyd. He says, allowing Haney to run into a karma left, actually several really hard ones. Yeah, I don't understand why he was so fixated on that left. And I believe Garcia should have started nailing him with the right. But he says, in what otherwise was an entertaining fight, it was sad to see the boxing guards try to protect Haney. First, Harvey Dock's surprising rough night, saving Haney with a suspect in round 7, took a point away from Ryan for hitting at the break without warning after never even admonished Haney for holding. And then the prolonged rest Haney got with Garcia berating all before the usual judge plant. With Mac DeLuca's seeing eye dog. I couldn't believe that score, to be honest with you. He says, I got to give Derek James and Garcia props. Should be interesting to see what Garcia does next. Who do you got for him? He says, oh, yeah, back to Hopkins. A la a bar cry, and Bill Haney's face was timely. Yeah, normally B-Hop doesn't get too animated in his second life here as a promoter, but he definitely did. And it seemed like Garcia was more receptive to B-Hop than he is to Oscar. Who do I see with Garcia next? That's an interesting question. You know, I think he's gonna give us a big fight, another big fight. That's what I think. I think he's going to come back with another big fight. I don't think that, I do think Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia rematch would be big bucks for these guys. I'm not so sure, from a boxing purist point of view, I don't know if the outcome would be any different. You know, I mean, styles make fights. Sometimes you got a fighter that just can't beat another fighter, you know, no disrespect. That's interesting. Interesting to see who he would fight next. They're talking about him fighting at welterweight. You know, there are some welterweights out there, big name welterweights. Boots is one, but I think Boots has his eyes, not his boots, on TC, Terrence Crawford. So we'll have to wait and see. Maybe Pitbull Cruz, Pitbull Cruz and Ryan Garcia. You know, that could be... a fight like a fighter like Ryan Garcia, who relies so much on that one punch, could be in some trouble against a guy like Pitbull. You know, Pitbull is a guy that likes to be in your face. Devin Haney tried to be in Ryan Garcia's face, but it didn't work out for him. Pitbull Cruz, Garcia might be apt to take that fight because Pitbull Cruz moved up into that weight, so you would have to assume that Garcia is a little bigger. Can he make 140 pounds? I don't know. I think he felt real comfortable at let's presume he was 147 pounds at least. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But in any event, that's that. But I enjoyed every minute of it. Looking forward to Canelo Alvarez taking on Jaime Munguia next week. I said it when it was announced, and I'll say it again, and I'll break it down next week. But I think this is an interesting fight. You know, I honestly believe that, you know the old saying, styles make fights. And both of these guys like to fight in the wheelhouse of their opponent. And I think that favors Munguia because he's younger. He could take a punch. You have to assume Canelo's bigger. But Canelo's power, with the exception of Kovalev, hasn't really moved up with him in weight. And I never thought of him as a great boxer. You know, I mean, when Floyd fought him, Floyd outboxed him. He had no answers. So the argument is, well, he got better since then. Well, you know, he got better at following Floyd's blueprint. I mean, I don't know. All I could say is that I believe he's a live underdog in this fight, and it's going to be interesting to see. Okay, what? I'm pronouncing it wrong again. It's Munguia, right? What did I say? Munguia? Okay, yeah, it's Munguia. I actually learned how to say that in Spanish, and the guy's going to me, Munguia. I was like, see. But in any event, hey, listen, thanks for joining me today. Make sure you tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And don't forget to like our podcast, like our videos, all that stuff you're supposed to do with social media. You know, I'm an old man. Just do that. But until then, ciao, baby.